Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have Juliana Andrews, Fair Lending and Lending Officer for Amalgamated Bank. She started her career in banking as a collector in 1996. After 2+ years of collections, she moved into compliance, where she has bounced back and forth between risk and compliance for the last 27 years. Juliana has had a lot of experience in BSA, CRA, and lending, and as a lending compliance officer. As a jack of all trades, master of none, and wife and mother of four, 2 boys and 2 girls, 9 grandchildren, 6 girls and 3 boys, we're excited to have her join us for today's episode. Juliana, welcome to the episode.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Daniel. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of the show.
Oh, of course. We're really excited to have you on, especially someone who started as a collector. I've got to ask, how did that happen? How did you begin your career in collections?
My stepmom had worked for a commercial bakery here locally, and they started to have a lot of bad checks and return checks, and they really needed somebody to come in and help them with that. And so she had asked me, you know, hey, would you like to take this on? And I said, yeah, actually I would, you know, it's interesting. Let me get in there and try to figure it out. So I did. I got in there. I researched what could be done, you know, with bad checks, how they could be redeposited, mm-hmm. or, you know, take things to small claims, you know, that type of thing to help the bakery out. And that's really how I got started. And, from there, I took a collector position with American Savings Bank here okay. in Stockton, California, where I live. And that's the bank that Washington Mutual purchased to break out yeah. into the California market and, you know, grew bigger from there.
So, I mean, collections obviously hasn't gone away. If anything, it's probably increased over the past few years. Has that helped you, like, continuing on into the compliance world?
Yes. So I learned a lot with being with the bank and doing collections. I started off with doing collections on lines of credit.
Okay.
And so that you know, got me into understanding lending products,
yeah.
understanding all the other products of the bank. I also did collections of overdraft protection. So I got to see both sides. I got to see lending and I got to see the retail side. And from there, I was actually tapped on the shoulder to join the compliance team. And I started in BSA. And so started there, actually became BSA manager for Washington Mutual and ran BSA okay. for them here in California. Had a very large team. Also had a team in Seattle, had a team in New York.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there kind of moved into risk mm-hmm. and did a little risk operations for a while, managed fraud, card fraud, check fraud, you know, you name it. And then, you know, just kind of bounced around from team to team. I had great mentors at Washington Mutual
yeah.
That really just, you know, told me stay in compliance and stay in risk and you'll always have a job.
And I mean, that's for sure. And I mean, Washington Mutual, that was a large bank, large entity back in its day to be working with. So I'm sure you learned a ton with your days with them.
I did. I stayed with them from 96 to 2006. And then I moved.
Okay. Very good. So you went through the heyday of it then.
Yes, I did. Through all their merger and acquisitions up until JP Morgan Chase.
Very good. So then I have to ask you, so your current position is as a Fair Lending and Lending Officer. What yes. all does that entail? What all does that cover? Because that's obviously a little bit of a transition away from BSA. What are you doing now?
Yes. And so now with Amalgamated, I am actually brand new to Amalgamated. I just started okay. at the end of May of this year. And what I will do for them is actually pull together their Fair Lending program and okay. actually help the lending teams and do a lot of the, you know, monitoring and testing of lending and help the lending teams understand our REMA, you know, how to increase our lending, obviously to make sure that, you know, we're a fair lender, and just put a lot of those policies, procedures, programs together for them. And so I have just dipped my toe in the water and, you know, ready to get into the deep end. And I'm learning, you know, more and more every day about the bank. And yeah, just really happy to be a part of their team.
So you said you started, sorry, you said May or was it March? I apologize.
May.
Mm-hmm. May, okay. So I mean, you're fairly new in the position, not even quite half a year yet, right?
Yes, yes.
So then let me ask you then, what was the first thing you do? Because I mean, obviously they had, I'm assuming they had some form of fair lending, at least process in place prior to you coming on board. What's the first thing you do? You said you're just dipping your toe into it. What was number one thing that you accomplished when you picked up the position?
Number one thing is actually I jumped into a HMDA audit.
Oh, that's a fun place to start.
Yes. And so jumped right into a HMDA audit just to, you know, get myself familiar with data. Mm-hmm. You know, what does it look like? You know, what have they done over the last couple of years? What does the LAR look like? You know, both on the commercial side and on the residential side, and have just really tried to connect with the residential and the commercial teams and, you know, socialize myself so that they know me and, mm-hmm. you know, I know them and get myself into the process to, you know, to understand, obviously, as being a compliance officer for so long, you understand lending and you understand yeah. fair lending, but going to a new bank, you know, everybody does it a little different.
Their own process, their own procedures.
Yes. And so I'm learning AB and AB is learning me. And like I said, we're just working together, you know, to get ourselves, you know, moving with the pack. And this is the thing is I always tell a new organization, you know, when I join them is that we always want to look at other banks in our asset size, mm-hmm. our complexity, and make sure that we're running with the pack as far as our lending compliance goes and fair lending. And so right now, that's what I'm doing is measuring us up against other banks that, you know, are in. We are an asset size of $9 billion coming up and bumping up against $10 billion here really soon. And so just, you know, doing a lot of that benchmarking and bringing a lot of that information back to our teams.
So then let's talk about your initial review of your fair lending policy. Because, I mean, obviously, you'll want to revamp those, bring them up to more of the standard that you operate in, because every compliance officer, as you said, kind of has their own flavor per se, like how they like to look at things and how they like to view things. So what are you looking for in a fair lending policy? What are kind of the things you're really digging for? What are the meat and potatoes of it?
You know, really the meat and potatoes of it is how do we tell our story and what is our story? You know, and so your story comes from your data, right? Mm-hmm. And so it all starts there. And so understanding, what products and services do we have in lending? You know, what is it that we're, you know, doing today? What's working better? What's not working, you know, as good as we would like it to be. Mm-hmm. And you really just take a look at, you know, all of the processes. Do we want to grow in residential lending? Do we want to grow in commercial lending? Which way do we want to head? You know, what are the market conditions today? You know, you got to take a lot of that into play, especially today with the higher interest rates and things of that nature, and make sure that there's a good mix of everything. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm really trying to get my arms around right now with AB is what is it that we're offering and where do we want to grow? And, you know, where do we want to maybe take a back seat on some things? Right. And so that's really where I'm at. I'm in a big discovery mode.
How are you discovering this? I mean, who are you turning to get this information?
So I turn to the sales teams. And so definitely have had some meetings and definitely started some, you know, interviews. So I like to interview loan officers, you know, love to interview the sales managers, get in there and the operations teams. You know, I want to meet the underwriters. I would love to meet the processors. You know, if, you know, loan officers have assistants, love to talk to them too. So really want to talk to branch managers, you know, how are you involved in the lending? That kind of thing. And so really it's relationship building for me right now, like I said, and me out socializing, and making sure that, people are willing to share and, you know, taking these processes and making sure that I can match them to when I read a procedure or a policy. And when I go out and do these interviews, am I hearing and seeing the same things that are written in these policies and procedures? And if I see that there's some differences, then I know that I need to do a little more investigation in that area.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So then I'm curious, because so many times we hear as compliance kind of being a loss department where it's all like the money goes in but never comes out kind of thing. How do you see yourself bringing benefits to the bank and the loan officers besides maybe just avoiding lawsuits or avoiding financial fines from regulatory agencies? Like what do you see yourself bringing to the table?
I see myself bringing to the table understanding our REMA. And so that's your reasonable expected marketing area. And when we talk about our REMA, we really should talk about, and I've done this, you know, in past lives, is what, do you know what's in your backyard? And I always ask my sales teams this, what's in your backyard? Do you know your sales area? Do you know what's within your sales area? Have you taken a look at the HMDA data? Do you understand the majority minority areas that we are in? You know, have you connected with your community leaders? You know, are you connected with real estate groups? How are you bringing in the business? And that's where I feel that I can help, and I can help bring in more business to the bank, is helping the sales team understand that you can use the compliance data to help you bring in more business if you can understand exactly what is in our backyard. And so it starts with the REMA. It starts with me getting out there and letting people know that these data sets have so much information for them that they could use to grow their business. And so as I sit down with the sales teams and you know, start to explain, hey, you know, what type of minority loan officers do we have in each office? If we have a majority minority area that's Hispanic and I have a branch that's near that area, do I have a Spanish speaker in that branch? You know, other things for, you know, other ethnicities and other areas. And so those are the types of things that I feel that I can bring to the table, and I can help the bank grow and grow their lending business.
So talk to me then about these data sets. So you've got your HMDA report or other reports right in front of you, and you're picking them through. What kind of elements are you looking for? So you mentioned one, maybe the Hispanic, not Hispanic. So it's a nationality on that side. What other elements are you looking at? What other elements are you considering?
Several demographics, right? Look at age, right? We can look at that. We can look at home ownership versus non-home ownership in different areas, right? So if you take a look at, I bring in several different data sets. I'll bring in Census Bureau data sets, you know, CFPB data sets. It's not only just our HMDA, but I'll bring in all of these different data sets and take a look at them against several different demographics. Like I said, age, home ownership versus non-home ownership, veterans, non-veterans, you know, let's just go through the laundry list of, you know, the types of demographics that we can look at and try to understand our products and services and where we can offer these, you know, in the best possible way to bring in more business.
Okay, so then you're really taking these data points and you're comparing them to what products and services Amalgamated Bank has to offer, and you're saying, okay, these products really fit in within this kind of demographic. Do we have someone that's proficient in the sales of these products and the development or the pitching of these products in these located areas? Is that what you're doing?
Absolutely, because I'll give them, you know, obviously their sales team, they're already using their sales acumen,
right? And of course,
of that nature, and hopefully we do have a good mix of people that understand VA loans, you know, people that understand, you know, the number one, number two products that, you know, are mostly used at the bank, that yeah. type of thing, and I'll connect with them to show them all of this data and how to use it. You know, I don't necessarily need to be the one that's there. You know, I'll do the introduction to the data and I'll make sure that they understand how to use it. And when they have questions, they can come back to me. But, you know, I really put it in their hands to be able to, you know, let their sales team and their sales managers help them develop what it may look like for them.
Now, I was going to say, I'm assuming that you're not reaching out to individual loan officers unless the managers direct you to. I'm assuming that you're reaching out to management teams and you're like, hey, look, this is what I have to offer. These are the tools. This is what you can do. And then you're letting them pass the word along, per se.
Correct. And then, you know, I'll come out and I'll do a training. You know, I'll enlist our marketing team to, you know, create first-time home buyer, you know, different presentations, things of that nature, so that we can get that rolling, you know, for the sales teams. If we're starting to offer a new product or service, let's get a presentation out there pretty quickly so that they can use this with their real estate partners and things of that nature. So I'm really trying to connect everyone and connect the dots to be sure that I, and like you said, that's my contribution back to the bank, right? Monitoring, testing, compliance, you know, that's the boring work on to the side, but to the, you know, if I had to look at how I contribute and can bring something back is to help, widen the scope of the type of lending that we're bringing in.
So then let me transition a little bit back to something we were talking about before. So you mentioned that you were a BSA manager at WAMU, and you had a substantial amount of individuals that reported to you. Are you in a management position at AB, or are you in a single party of one kind of position?
Yes, I'm an individual contributor at AB. Yes.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. So then I'm assuming who do you report to? Who's your direct supervisor?
I report to the chief compliance officer.
Okay, so it's you're reporting straight up to the top, which is perfect. So then I'm assuming when you interviewed for the position, you interviewed with the chief compliance officer. Is that right?
Yes, I did. I went through several rounds of interviews with AB. Met the several people from our executive leadership team, and met with the lending team. And also met with the chief compliance officer.
Perfect. So let me kind of tie this back to I guess what I was ultimately looking for. As you were pitching yourself and as you were looking to come into this position, how did you develop that relationship, or how are you developing that relationship with your direct supervisor? Because I know it's a big shift transition ultimately from managing a larger party of individuals or bounce between multiple different departments until all of a sudden becoming a department of one reporting directly to your superior. How do you develop that relationship with them as a new officer in your position?
I think it's really just where do you come from? You know, how you try to connect on a level of skill and experience. And I really try to connect with Paul, my boss, on, you know, what are our goals? You know, what are the goals of AB, and what would you really like to see come out of, you know, the lending compliance and fair lending program? you know, obviously, you know, we've taken a look at the data in their past years, and, you know, they've had other compliance officers and consultants come in to look at their data and, you know, give a lot of advice and guidance. And so what I like to do with him is talk about, okay, you know, now that we do understand the data, what do we want to do? You know, what are the goals? And so what we like to do is think about what is the best way to tell our story, right? The one thing that you want to do in compliance is always be confident about the programs that you have, because as soon as, you know, examinations and audits come around, you're going to tell that story, and you're going to have to be very confident about what it is that you're doing, that you're following all the consumer regs, you know, all of the laws that govern, you know, what it is that you're doing. And you're going to want to be sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. And so what we do is we start off with the one main, you know, policy, and then on down of all the procedures that match to that policy. We'll take a look at them. We'll test them. Out of that testing, we'll take a look at, you know, are there some gaps? Are there not? Are there some areas, like I said, of where we're doing very well, maybe some areas where we might want to make some changes. And then we can all come back to the table to talk about what do those changes need to look like, and how do we do it better than we were doing it before? And that's really the biggest question to ask yourself is how do we improve, right? Because everybody knows that it's not just about, it's a one and done. It is never a one and done in compliance and risk. Things change, products and services change, the risk changes within them, things of that nature. And so how deep do we want to get to where we want to go? And I really try to look at that. I try to connect with our executive leadership to, you know, understand, like I said, the direction that they would like to go. If they want to grow out residential lending, let's talk about what that plan needs to look like and what we need in policies, procedures, and testing and monitoring to do that. If we want to grow commercially, what does that need to look like? And so it's really just that. Start with the fundamentals, and then let's talk about our goals. Let's write our story. Let's be confident about what that story is. And so that way, when we're asked by auditors or examiners, you know, we're right there to make sure that everyone understands that we're very confident about what we're doing, because we know that we, you know, are following the rules, that, you know, the spirit of the law, not only the fundamentals of all of the regulations. So
perfect. Well, let me kind of ask you my wrap up question that I'm excited to dig into with you, just because of the quality of the experience you have. If you could give banks one piece of advice today, so in today's market, today's environment, what piece of advice would you give them?
I would say the one piece of advice that I would give them is to really understand your REMA, like I was talking about. Really come back to your, you know, expected marketing area. That is, you know, it doesn't matter who you're managed by, whether that's the OCC, FDIC, the Fed, CFPB, it all comes back to your marketing area. And are you covering your marketing area as you should? And so that is the, if I had to give any advice, is understand that, be able to tell the story around your REMA and how you're lending within it. Even if you have some gaps that you have identified, don't be shy to make sure that you disclose those. Because even though you may have some gaps, if you have a plan on how you're going to cover that gap, that's exactly what your regulator wants to hear, right? Your regulator doesn't expect perfection. your regulator expects that you know what the next step is. And if you show them that, then they, you know, you can develop a good relationship with them, because then they understand that, okay, the bank gets it, right? The bank understands that there's not always going to be, you know, things aligned from A to Z. There is going to be some gaps here and there. But as long as you understand what those gaps are and you have a plan, and you know what it is that you're going to do for correction or remediation, it's all they like to see.
That's perfect. I love that. Well, Juliana, thank you very much for joining us today's episode. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
For the rest of you chiming in, that's Banking Matters.